This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope, East Hawaii. In this third message in a four-part series, Pastor Scott delves into the challenging topics of sin and Satan. In today's message, Pastor Scott talks about the nature and character of Satan and how he affects and interferes in the lives of both believers and unbelievers. This message was delivered on October 8th, 2017. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Well, good morning, New Hope. You know, the more and more I come and I serve, the more and more I just love serving with each and every one of you. And just God has blessed our lives so much with such wonderful friends that we have made here, family that we grow together, we hurt together, we spend good times together. And the more I get to do it, the more and more I fall in love with each and every one of you. And I just want to say thank you so much for being a part of New Hope East Hawaii, because you truly, each and every one of you, just make my life better. I get to sit down with you and listen to your stories and your testimonies, pray with you, pray for you. And every one of you has a very unique and special story. And one day, I'd like to hear all of them, and so we can just become better friends. And this week, I know last week, Sunday, was just some bad news. I woke up Monday morning to hear what had happened in Las Vegas, and I thought, like, man, you know, my heart broke. You know, you wake up Monday morning, and Monday is my favorite day of the week. You may not think so because you guys all got to go back to work and everything, and I do go to work on Monday, but I love Mondays. It's just a wonderful day. I finished preach on Sunday. I did what I have to do. I can get up Monday morning, like, oh. And I all the way until Wednesday, then I start getting anxiety for Sunday again. But I just love Mondays. But then to wake up Monday morning and to hear what had happened, oh, it broke my heart that so many people lost their lives enjoying a concert. I mean, like, so, you know, people say, like, wow, I don't want to go and do things now because of what might happen. But for you and I, we know what would happen when we die. For those of you here who accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we do not have to fear death, right? And we kind of look forward to it because we know where we're going to end up. We know that if we get shot, we know that, wow, we're going to wake up in paradise. No more pain, no more tears, no more death, no more sickness, no more sorrow, no crying. We'll be with the Lord, absent from the body, present with the Lord. So if we were to go to a concert, we wouldn't have to worry, because if something happened like this, we would go to heaven. But for those who go and, you know, they fear death, maybe they don't know the Lord. And it's a battle that we're in right now. It's a war that we're in for souls. We're fighting each day to win souls for the Lord. And that's what we do. And I got this email from our president of Foursquare, and he asked all of us on this Sunday to pray. So we're going to start with that. Would you bow your heads, and we're going to pray for those who suffered in this tragedy. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, and we pray for the communities of faith that are shattered from broken families and the tragedies that happen. We pray for those recovering from their injuries, and those who hope seem so far away. We pray for the kingdom. We pray that against the kingdom of darkness, and that God's presence would be shown and seen. We pray against fear and hopelessness. We pray for the life-giving conversions amid the tears. We pray for comfort and peace. We pray for provision of needs that aren't even aware that we are not aware of. We pray for children who lost parents or siblings. We pray for parents who lost children. We pray for people who lost their friends. We pray for spouses who lost theirs. We pray for a community that has lost its confidence and peace. We pray for a deep cleansing of the souls of men and women, that they would turn to you, the only one who can give them peace and help, salvation. We pray for those who are dealing with such horror and loss. We pray those who come alongside them to help bear their burdens. We pray for the Foursquare Disaster Relief Team, and the chaplains, and the first responders. And Lord, we pray that the Christ followers would come along the nation and will reach out with God's love to all those who are hurting right now. We lift these prayers up in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you can imagine the loss, you know, people right next to you getting shot. I mean, that's such a horror. And we are in a war. Forces are trying to remove you from this place. Other things are vying for your attention. Your mind may be wandering in places rather than being here and now. And the Bible teaches us many things. The Bible trains and equips us to be effective in this life here on earth. And before I read the Bible, I never knew all these things. Before I read the Bible, I did life on my own terms, and it wasn't good. And what the devil does, he does to harm us, to kill us, to steal, to destroy. But God uses those tragedies in life to bring me closer to him. You see, God may not orchestrate the tragedies in life, but I can tell you what, he certainly knows how to use them to benefit me. When we pray for people to get saved, they may not get saved the way we want them to. How many of you realize that? Sometimes we pray for our friends and family. We pray, oh Lord, help them to stop drinking. And God doesn't make them stop drinking. He gives them gout. Their feet swells up, their knees swells up, and say, oh, I cannot drink no more. And you suffer with them, and then you think like, wow, that's how God answered my prayer. Yeah, how many of you prayed for somebody to stop drinking? They got gout. Yeah. And then we pray for our friends to get saved, and then a tragedy happens in their lives, which we hurt with them, but through that tragedy, they find God. I mean, a lot of times we pray, but the way God answers prayers is like, man, we don't see it that way. And then when things turn out and then things change and then we look back, it's like, wow, God answered my prayers in such a different way that I would never even comprehend. But when we read the Bible, we get a better understanding of who God is, his character, and we also get a better understanding of Satan and his character and what he does. In Psalms 144:1, it says, praise be to the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. Man, we are in this battle, this war, and we are fighting for our loved ones. And this is a battle that has eternal effects. We are in a battle for their souls so that they will be spending eternity with God instead of apart from God. I mean, we are in a battle for lives, for our parents, our children, nieces, nephews, cousins, neighbors, friends. Yeah, even for those guys who do drive 25 miles an hour in front of you on the highway. Yes, for them too, believe it or not. Even for our enemies. How many of you sat down and prayed for the leader of North Korea lately? I mean, every time I see his face on my homepage, which is like practically every day, I say a prayer for him. I said, Lord, either you save him, change his heart, or remove him. You know, I'm praying for, you know, he's like the evil King Ahab in the Bible. And I'm praying that maybe his son would be like Hezekiah, who comes up behind him, changing everything, taking down all the idols and changing the culture. And I pray for him that, you know, he would change. And I pray for our leader too, that they would stop. I think if both of them was to just shut up, maybe things would be less hostile, right? I mean, look at Jesus. When Jesus was silent before Pilate, the Bible says Pilate was amazed. Silence can be amazing. I mean, if you look at all these things that's going on, United States, North Korea, the shooting in Las Vegas, the problems we have with Iraq, who do you think is behind all of that? Satan. Why? Because it's obvious. Because Satan's mission statement is kill, steal, and destroy. And that is what's going on. And, you know, today and next, we're going to look at Satan and the schemes and his character. And it's like, you know, like the last couple weeks, I really don't like talking about sin and Satan because it's kind of like, oh, it's not fun. But some things that we have to talk about because we have to be aware of his schemes. And if we are not aware of his schemes, we might fall for them. And we don't want to fall for them. So number one, Satan lies and is the father of lies. That's what he does. John 8:44, Jesus said this. For you are the children of your father, the devil. And you love to do the evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character. For he is a liar and the father of lies. The devil. He's the enemy of the truth. By a lie, he brought spiritual and physical death to mankind. He still distorts the truth. He is a liar and the father of all lies. And he seeks to lead people away from God, who is the source of truth and life. When Satan lies, he speaks according to his own nature. For he is a liar. That's what he does. If you look at the Bible, the first time he appears in the book of Genesis, he says suspicious words. Indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? So he puts thoughts in their head. Then he said this, the serpent said to the woman, surely you will not die. You know, how would Eve know the truth from a lie? Because if you read the Bible, God told Adam, right? He didn't tell Eve. So it was Adam's job to tell Eve. And if Adam did not tell Eve, then it was Adam's fault. And when he tried to blame Eve, there he was wrong, right? So Eve was deceived by what Satan said. Then the second bunch of words Satan tells Eve was subtle untruth. Has someone ever deceived you? You ever been, how many of you are out there are gullible? Yeah? Like if I told you I caught 100-pound ulua on 10-pound test, you would say like, wow, that's awesome. You know. I'm lying. But hey, if you did not know and somebody calls you, hey, this is Scott, I'm from the IRS, you owe back taxes of $100,000, you better pay me now or I'm sending somebody to get you, wire me the money now. And if you don't know that, they don't do that, you would send the money. Just like the Bible, if you don't know what the Bible says about the enemy and how he works, you might fall for some of his schemes. That's why we encourage you. Read the Bible every day. Get to know the character of God. Get to know the schemes of the devil. So when stuff happens, we know that's not God's character. That's God's character. That's the character of the devil. I will not go that way, but I'm going to go this way. We need to know the character of God and the schemes of the enemy. Number two, he blinds the minds of unbelievers. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Satan, who is the God of this world, and you notice the G, the God, is a small g. He's not the Almighty God. Has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. You know, we get up in the morning, especially when we're down at the ocean, and we see the sunrise, and we see that God has painted us a beautiful picture. Same with the sunset. But those guys who don't believe, they don't see those things. We see miracles. We see good things. We see lives change. They can't see those things. We share Jesus with them, and they tell us, you're crazy. You're nuts. There's no such thing. And you think, how can you not see the hand of God? Because Satan has blinded them. They cannot see. And it's sad. So not only does he tell us lies, but he hides the truth. He keeps some of us from seeing the treasure of the gospel. The gospel was rejected by people who were unable and unwilling to accept it. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. He cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. You know, when we give a tithe or an offering, the people on the outside, they say, you are crazy. You are crazy giving all this to God. But we who understand this, understand that when we give, we know that where our treasure is, that's where our heart is. We know that we are storing up our treasures in heaven. We know that when we give, that the Bible says that God will open up the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing on us, that it will overflow. We'll bless our families, our friends, our neighbors. We might even have to go rent storage space to fit all that blessings, right? How many of you have messy houses because so much blessings, you cannot contain them. Really? You look at my house, you would come to my house and you're like, wow, you are blessed. I got stuff all over the place. Yeah. And the natural man, they cannot see these things. They don't understand these things. They disbelieve. That's so sad. And that's the battle that you and I are in. Because once we said yes to Jesus, that wasn't it. That was the beginning. That was the day that we enlisted in God's army. That's the day we said, yes, Lord. And that's the day that we have now new responsibilities. Because we get saved, we don't just come and sit. We need to go and take the good news to others who they're walking straight towards death. And we are on the side. Don't go that way. It's like a parade. And we get to warn them of their future. And we get to tell them, no, not that way. Come this way. And that's the battle that we're in. It's an ongoing battle to save people from entering hell to get them to enter heaven. Amen? Number three, he masquerades, and don't ask me to spell that, in a costume of light and righteousness. So you better leave that slide up there so they can spell masquerade, because M-A-S-Q something. Yeah, you can tell I never go to school. But he disguises himself. 2 Corinthians 11, 13 to 15. These people are false apostles. They are deceitful workers who disguise themselves as apostles of Christ. But I am not surprised. Even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no wonder that he serves also to disguise himself as servants of righteousness. In the end, they will get the punishment their wicked deeds deserve. You know, Paul had been planting churches, and he's been making remarks about these so-called super apostles. And here he gave these false apostles just a withering denunciation. They were only shams claiming to be ambassadors of Christ, when in fact these guys were representing Satan. Like Satan's masquerade as an angel of light, they were masquerading as apostles, as servants of righteousness. They professed that they work for Christ. They joined the fellowship, and from within they try to destroy us. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last time some will turn away from the truth of the true faith, and they will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons. You know, there were in our 9 years, there had been times when I have actually had to ask people to leave this church because there were wolves, there were predators. And to protect the sheep, I had to ask them to go somewhere else and get some counseling. It was very hard, very difficult. But in order to protect the majority of the people, I had to say, you know what, stop right here. You got to go find help before you can come back. And it was a sad time. I never, ever thought I'd had to do that. But in order to protect our children and our families, I had to ask them. And it was so hard. People will profess that, but yet they would come and try and do harm. Matthew 7:15, Jesus said, beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves. How can one determine the character of a false teacher? I think, first of all, we need to look at their fruit. What are they producing? Grapes and figs do not grow on thorn bushes or thistles. Good fruit trees produce good fruit. Bad fruit trees produce bad fruit. We just gotta watch. And if you look at leaders who say, hey, look at me. Look at what I do. Watch out. Because a good God leader would point everyone to Jesus Christ and tell them, follow him, not me. They try to bring attention to themselves. But we need to point people to God. Because I tell you what, man will stumble and man will fall, but Jesus Christ won't. Amen? Number four, Satan does signs and wonders. Sometimes we see people chasing after signs and wonder when they should be chasing after God. 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 and 10. This man will come to do the work of Satan with counterfeit power and signs and miracles. He will use every kind of evil deception to fool those on their way to destruction because they refuse to love and accept the truth that will save them. This evil man will use counterfeit power and signs and miracles to deceive and draw a following. Miracles from God can help strengthen our faith and lead people to Christ. But all miracles are not necessarily from God. There's a counterfeit. We need to, because there are people who go around chasing signs and wonders. And I feel so sad, because what happens when the signs and wonders are gone? Their faith might be gone. We just need to be chasing after God. Christ's miracles were significant, not because of their power, but because of their purpose, to help, to heal, and to point us to God. The man of lawlessness will have power to do amazing things, but this power would be from Satan. He will use this power to destroy and lead people astray and away from God and toward himself. So if any so-called righteous personality draws attention only to himself, then you better watch out, because their work might not be of God. We need to develop discernment. Our confidence needs to be grounded in something far deeper than any supposed ability of Satan, of him doing signs and wonders. Real signs and wonders in the service of any anti-Christian order prove nothing. Matthew 7, 22 and 23. On judgment day, many will say to me, "Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name." But I will reply, "I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws." This was Jesus speaking. Jesus exposed those people who sounded religious but had no relationship with him. On judgment day, only our relationship with Christ, our acceptance of him as Savior, and our obedience to him will matter. The problem was not that the signs and wonders weren't real, but they were all done in the service of sin. Satan is a liar. He blinds people. He disguises himself. He does signs and wonders. You know, when you read the Bible, and Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days, and he was tempted, Satan offered him the kingdoms of this world. So it tells me this: Satan can give you good stuff, but you got to watch who that stuff is from, because he might just give you good stuff to keep you away from God. And that's what he did with Jesus. He said, "I'll give you these kingdoms of this world if you bow down to me." But Jesus never did bow down to him. He knew better. He went through with his suffering. Satan may offer you a shortcut, but there, in Christianity, in serving God, there is no shortcut. We read, we learn, we study, we endure trials, we grow our faith, we get stronger, and our faith grows through each and every trial. That's why I encourage each and every one of you, get into your word. Get into your word every day, that you will not be deceived, that you will understand the character of God, and you understand the schemes of the devil. You will know and understand what God's will is for your life. And I tell you what, when you gain that knowledge. And when you obey, man, I tell you what, no matter how hard life may be, life will be good. Amen? You may put away your notes. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. And I'm gonna close in prayer right now. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? The enemy, Satan, he does not want you to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He wants you to stay blinded. He wants you to stay outside of the kingdom. So I'm going to ask that you not give him this stronghold. I'm going to ask that if you desire to get into heaven, if you desire a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you desire to be saved, then with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, pray this prayer with me now. It goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins, and I turn to you. Come live in me, change me, cleanse me, make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? I pray for you. Anybody out there? Don't let the devil prevent you from raising your hand. If you prayed that prayer, anybody else out there? Let me put your hands down. Lord, thank you so much for those you have saved today. Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes and our ears to understand your character and to also understand the schemes that the enemy has and how he kills, steals, and destroys. Lord, I pray for each one here that as we read your word, we would come to an understanding of what it is you want us to do, of what it is you call each and every one of us to do. Thank you for your word this morning. Lord, we pray that you would grow our faith, grow our strength. Lord, we pray that you would equip us for this battle that we are in, that we would step forward and we would fight the good fight, we would finish the race, we would win and save many souls. We would point them to you. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you give the Lord praise? Thank you, Jesus. Hey, before you go, don't forget, we got boxes up here, and we'd like to see those gone so we can always make some more. And if we do run out, we do have more. Drop off your prayer requests and any comments about the service in the blue box on the way out. And if you want to stick around for prayer and fellowship, we'd love to pray with you, pray for you. But would you stand as we just pour out our hearts? Continue to pray for the people in Las Vegas.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keauʻu, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.